Nehemiah chapter 6. We're motoring right through this book. Of course, some of you might think we're dragging through, right? But now I've enjoyed this study, and tonight we're going to look at chapter 6. And what we're going to see here tonight in this part of our story is we're going to see again the opposition coming. Now, who can remember who is the opposition in this story? We got Sanballat. All right, somebody else. Tobiah and one other. Starts with a G. Geshem. Good job. All right. And we are at a point right now at the end of chapter 5 where where Nehemiah has just he has just challenged the people and dealt with problems from within. Right? Who can tell me what that problem was? Who can remember what that was? Right. Yes. Yes, good. Good. So we had the nobles taking advantage of the poor, and they were doing that through charging interest. And so now we come to chapter 6, and what I'd like to do is I would like to read this for you, but I want you to help me discover a few things from this passage. What we're talking about, we're going to talk about opposition, and I want you, for me, as we read through this, to try and pinpoint at least three different ways that Nehemiah handles opposition. All right? At least three different ways in which Nehemiah responds or handles this opposition, okay? Fair enough? All right, tonight's going to be a little bit more interactive. All right, so I got to get you working so you can work up for your ice cream, right? All right, so just follow along with me. And once again, this is a story, so allow your mind to go there. Allow your mind to see the scene. If I can build that scene for you, this is the ancient city of Jerusalem. We are at a point where the walls are nearing completion. And this wall, made out of stone, it is at least 2 to 3 meters thick, if not more in places. And these people that are doing this are not all carpenters or stonemasons, but they're all kinds of different people, all working together all around this wall. They have already faced opposition from these men and from these armies from the outside. And now they have just dealt with this opposition, this problem from within. So you now have people that probably are seemingly reunited again after this mini revival and confrontation. So now we come to chapter 6, and it says, Nehemiah writes this, and he says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me, not once, but 4 times, after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his own life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and to do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that the work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Pretty interesting. Does it kind of like sound like a movie plot or something? You know, I like drama. I don't know, someday I'll probably get up here and do drama or something, because I just like to act. But I hope you don't mind me getting a little dramatic with my reading. But I try to make it interesting, really, because this is really a story. And this is what has happened in the life of Nehemiah. So now it comes to you. What have you observed here from this chapter, from this portion of Scripture, about how Nehemiah responded to this opposition? What did you see? Excellent, yes. He remained focused on the work that was set before him. Look at that verse there that states that very clearly. He says there in verse 3, I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Tell me about this work. You know, this work that Nehemiah was doing was the work of God, right? He came all the way to Jerusalem because God brought him there. And he built this wall because God gave him the strength to do so. And now, what we see here is the opposition saying to him, come on away from your work for a while. Come, meet with us. Let's talk. Now, you know, there are some signs here that we can pinpoint to alert us to evil, to opposition. What do you observe here? The opposition is using what kind of tactics? What are they doing here, and how can we recognize opposition? Good, yeah. First, let's look at that. They're using fear. All right. How many times you saw fear throughout this chapter? At least 3, maybe 4 times. Nehemiah says, and they sought to make us afraid. Now listen, folks. Sometimes in our life today, it is hard to discern who is for us and who is against us. At times, it is hard to discern what is a lie from the evil one and what is truth. And tonight, I believe what we can learn from this lesson here is some ways that we can discern truth from a lie. That we can discern God's way from the way of the evil one. You see, Nehemiah was hard at work doing the work of whom? Good. The work of God. So shall we. So are we. To be hard at work doing the work of God. Now, let me ask you. Something comes along and seeks to distract you from your work. Something comes up, especially with this kind of reputation, and says, come on away for a while. You need a rest. Or, just come and meet with us. Talk with us. You know, we don't like you. And come talk with us and maybe we can work out a deal. All right? And what you can begin to see here, and I believe God helped Nehemiah to discern this, is the inner workings behind the scenes of this plot. And you see, our opposition wants to distract us from the work of God. They want to stop it. For you see, Nehemiah, being the leader here in this situation, the wall building surely would have come to an end as he left. For these people followed their leader. And as he would have left, something dramatic might have happened. So what we see here is Nehemiah, he refuses to leave the work of God. We must stay focused on the work that God has for us. I believe that's the lesson here. We need to remain focused on that. And at times, things are going to come our way and try and distract us. And may God be gracious to us to help us discern those things and pinpoint them as distractions and as things that want to cause us to stop our work. Let me tell you, the evil one does not want you to do the work of God. He doesn't. He will do anything to stop your successful testimony. I mean, we've been talking about that in the morning, a testimony before the world. You know, the evil one, and we even see that in our text here, the evil one wants us to become useless for the kingdom of God. And one of his ways is distraction. What might that be in your life? That could be a friend. A friend that was walked away from God and wants to draw you with him. It could be, I don't know, a TV show or certain activity, whatever. I'm not here to preach against certain things. I'm here to preach principles. In your heart, you know what can be a distraction to you. I do too. I'll tell you, for me, a lot of times it's sleep. I get tired. I get tired out, worn out, and I just want to rest. And I have yet to come to grips with the fact that even though I am tired, God can give me strength for that day. And I can walk on in obedience to him. There's a lot of times I just lay there and say, oh, just another half hour. And what ends up happening, I get distracted from what? My time in the Word, some prayer, whatever. All right, so now, we've looked at this first idea of distraction. And we need to stay focused. That's the lesson. Stay focused on the work that God has for you. Now, let's go on here. What else? What else did you discern here that Nehemiah, how did he respond in the story? You see, he prayed. Good. Nehemiah is known as a man of prayer. And thus, I believe he is known as a man of leadership. And what we see here is him crying out to God for what? Lord, strengthen my hands. We see that there in the end of verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And then again, you see him pray in 14. He says, my God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. He's just saying, God, look at these guys. Lord, I know you see them, but just please do something with them. What we see here is we see that the opposition uses the means of distraction, but then what they do is they use deception. You see, what happens here is Sanballat tries four times to get Nehemiah to come away, all right? Come away, come away. It doesn't work, for Nehemiah remains faithful. So the fifth time, he sends his servant with an open letter. All right, a little bit of cultural lesson here. A letter back in these days usually was rolled up parchment, and it was sealed. So that when you got the letter, you knew if anybody had read it or not. So now this is an open letter. So obviously, Sanballat wanted anybody and everybody to be aware of its contents. This letter, the seal, was broken. So that meant that probably this servant could have walked in and said, walked by the meat market and said, hey, check this out. Read this. And talking to people all the way on his way to Nehemiah. Well, that's the first thing that's alert to Nehemiah. It's like, uh-oh, I got an open letter here. I mean, this Nehemiah, he is no slouch. Remember where he's come from? The palace of the king. He's probably seen many, many, many letters, and they've always been sealed. A sealed letter shows honor to its recipient. It shows that you only are worthy of these contents. An open letter, that's putting you down. For I don't care who reads this. This is an insult, first of all, towards Nehemiah. But what are the contents? The contents of this letter are what? Lies. Lies. Look at this. He says, this is Sanballat writing. He says, it is reported among the heathen. All right, so the heathen are the non-Jewish people, the enemies of the Jews there. And Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause you build the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to their words. So what he's doing here is he's trying to set up a story. He's trying to cause rumors to come in, to cause what? Inward problems again? So he builds up this story, all right? He makes it flowery. So you come in, Nehemiah, and you come and you build up this nice wall, and you make it all look good. But I know what you're doing. I know. You're secretly, behind the scenes, building up rapport and support so that pretty soon here, and that wall is complete, you're going to declare yourself as king. And you're going to rebel against all of Persia. All right, so what he does here is he says these lies, and then he says that thou mayest be their king according to their words, and that thou hast appointed prophets to preach at thee in Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Ooh, the king, he's going to hear about this soon. So he's deception. He's using lies. And it's an open letter on purpose so that anybody and everybody can read the lies. And hopefully some people will believe them. And he makes this threat that the king is going to hear about this soon. And what's the king going to think? Nehemiah, you better come down and visit with me. All right, so what do you discern here? You see, the opposition uses distraction, but then it uses lies. I'm convinced that one of our greatest struggles as believers is discerning what is a lie and what is truth. Any time that you and I fall or sin, it's because we believed a lie. It's because we have believed the lie of Satan. He has told us that we are not good enough. He has told us that they didn't like what you had to say. When in reality, in fact, let me just give you a personal illustration. This morning, all right? I'm up here preaching. And I'm not going to use any names, but there was... I saw somebody, and I was just, when I went home, I was discouraged because I wasn't sure what they thought or how they were responding to the message. And, you know, I began to think and meditate on this, and like, maybe they didn't agree with what I was saying, or maybe they didn't like it, or maybe they're going to come talk to me and ring me out or something. And see, I began to snowball because I believed a lie. What I believed was I saw this body language, and I saw this, and I was like, I made up a story. You see? I made up a story that I had no idea if it was true. So if it's true, then what purpose do I have in believing it? None. So I believe the lie. And so then, it snowballs, and I'm discouraged. Do you see the progression there? It's just a little thing. But I took it in my mind and ran with it. You know, I got my eyes off the Lord. I forgot the idea that I was preaching for God's glory and not my own. Okay? You see all these lies? And I get self-focused, and I get discouraged. It is incredible how easy it is to just believe a little lie and then find yourself in a ditch. So listen, folks. Listen. Our opposition today, the evil one, wants to distract you, but he wants to get you to believe a lie. And if he can get you to just believe one little thing that's a lie from him, that is not truth, that's founded upon God, upon his principles, upon something that you know to be true, then he can get you to snowball and get your mind to run and be discouraged. So let me encourage you. Base your life upon things that you know to be true. How? You know them to be true when you compare them to the Word of God and what you know to be true about God. That's an important principle for us all to keep in mind. Our opposition, they want to distract us, but he wants to deceive us and get us off track, get us to feel threatened because we believe a lie. That's what happened here. And you see here, what does Nehemiah say? He sent in verse 8, he sends unto him, back to him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. What's he do about the lies? He looks him straight in the eyes and says, it's a lie. Listen, folks, when you're confronted, when I'm confronted with a lie, call it a lie. Call it such. Don't be intimidated and afraid. Say, that's a lie. Tell yourself, that is a lie. And I am not going to base my life upon that. Nehemiah here says, there is no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. In other words, Sanballat made these things up. Nehemiah knew it. And I want to tell you something. What is interesting here is that the people around Nehemiah, I believe, knew that these were lies. Why? The testimony of his life. Okay? The testimony of his life. You see, Nehemiah spoke loudly by his life, his actions, his words. And now these lies that are being spread all over Jerusalem, are they believable? Well, you compare them with the man and his testimony, and you say, no, they are a lie. All right, so distraction. Evil one is going to use distraction in our lives. We see here opposition using distraction. We see deception and lies. Evil one's going to use lies in our life, to get us off track. We must stay focused on the work that God has for us, and we need to expose as lies those false claims of the opposition. All right, so let's go on. Oh, I do want to point out something here in verse 9. For they all made us afraid. I want you to notice something. The people did become afraid here. Their hands shall be weak, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Nehemiah here then prays, O God, strengthen my hands. You see, the opposition can have this little effect here, and Nehemiah is praying, God, strengthen my hands, that I might lead these people in this effort and lead them with courage based in the truth. So then we see this guy named Shemaiah. Shemaiah was a Jew. He lived in Jerusalem, and he was probably related in some way to the priesthood. And what do we see here? We see that Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, this is verse 10, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and that what that means is it wasn't that his mouth was duct tape. It means that he was confined to his home or some room. Commentators do not exactly understand why. It could have been because he was ceremonially unclean or some other reasons. We do not know, but for some reason he is shut up in his home. And Nehemiah goes to visit him. And Shemaiah says to Nehemiah, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come and slay thee. What in the world is he saying? All right, folks, discern for me. From what you know about Israel, history of Jews, and now you hear what Shemaiah says to Nehemiah, what is not making sense? Luis. Exactly. All right, excellent. So what you see here is what? You see, Shemaiah, he was hired by Sanballat and Tobiah. So what's the opposition doing now? They're trying to get Nehemiah to what? To disobey direct commands of God. You see, the temple was a holy place, and therefore, people, just laymen like Nehemiah, were not supposed to find themselves in the temple. You know what happened to King Uzziah? He walked out with leprosy. And here what you see is Shemaiah, and he's been paid off by the enemy to get Nehemiah to the certain place to go into the temple. Why? So that he might tarnish his testimony. Right? The Jewish people know that you can't just walk into the temple. So what's Nehemiah going to do in there? Right? And when Nehemiah walks out of the temple, he is now going to have a check mark beside his name. And people are going to be able to say, aha, Nehemiah isn't who he thought he was, or who we thought he was. What's Nehemiah say here? He says to Shemaiah, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Let me ask you a question. How in the world do you think he perceived that Shemaiah was not on his side? What was the clue? He asked him to sin. Shemaiah, a fellow Jew, has asked Nehemiah to disobey God. That's the clue. That's what tipped Nehemiah off. Ah, Shemaiah, I will not run. I will not go in. I don't care if you say they will come and kill me at night, tonight. I will not disobey God. So what's the opposition want to do? Distract us, deceive us, and cause us to disobey our Lord. So how can you discern the opposition? You can discern the opposition if they are distracting you, if they're telling you lies, if they're telling you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. If somebody or something is in your life that is challenging you or telling you to walk away from God or to disobey God and His Word and His commands, do not heed that. Run away from that, for it is a lie from the pit of hell. For God will not tell us to disobey His own self. For the people of God, for our friends that love God, will not come in your life and tell you to disobey the Lord. So these are helpful clues and tips to help us walk with wholeness in our life. Discern, believer, when you are being distracted, or when you are being confronted with a lie, or when you are being confronted with a temptation to disobey God. And when you see those things, realize it is the opposition, and do not walk in that way. Nehemiah refused to disobey God for the sake of saving his own life. We need to remain faithful in order that we might maintain a godly testimony. You see here, verse 13, he says, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. This is going hand in hand with our study in 1 Peter. Do you see it? Do you see that? You don't want to have this idea of evil report, because then the people in the world have something to look at and say, aha, there's something wrong with you, therefore, what good is your God? Here's the key. We've got to maintain a godly testimony, remain faithful to our Lord, so that when people look at us, they have nothing to say. They are muzzled. They are silenced because of the purity of your life. So in closing, we see here that the wall was finished in 52 days. 52 days. And it came to pass in verse 16, when the enemies heard it, and all the heathen saw it, they were downcast in their eyes, discouraged. And this is what I want you to grasp. End of verse 16, they say, for they perceived, that is the enemies, the heathen, they perceived what? What did they perceive there? That this work was what? Rod of God. Isn't that what it's all about, folks? Is that God gets the glory, and that the people outside looking in, that they look at something that takes place and they say it has to be the work of God. That's what it's all about, folks. And that's the beauty of this thing. The beauty of walking with God and being His follower is we live a consistent life and a fervent and a clean testimony for him. And the people out there have nothing else to say, but it has to be the work of God. So today what we've learned, and I just want to review this, and then we'll close. The evil one's going to try to distract you. We need to remain focused on the work that God has for us. The evil one is going to try to tell us lies. We need to expose those lies as false, and we need to walk in the truth, what we know to be true. And thirdly, the evil one's going to tell us things and try to get us to disobey. Disobey God. We need to remain faithful so that we can walk around with a faithful, clean, godly testimony. So that when the world looks at us and looks at the things that we have done, they have nothing else to say, but that is the work of God. Pretty awesome, huh? Pretty awesome. Lord, I am thankful for tonight, and I thank you for this profound study. And God, this was your work tonight. You really helped me through this, helping me understand these truths in this passage. And God, I've really learned a lot. I'm thankful, Lord, for taking us through this tonight, for challenging us, for alerting us of the evil one, the lion that seeks to devour us. And I pray that, God, you would alert us to the distractions, the lies, the wrong ideas and temptations that will come our way. And may we remain faithful. And may we walk with a testimony, Lord, that speaks of your faithfulness and your work. And Lord, now as we go and partake of some ice cream, I thank you for that provision. I thank you for each one that has brought food and ice cream to share. And Lord, I pray that our fellowship will be sweet and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.